Revolting People by Andy Hamilton and Jay Tarsis. With Jay Tarsis, Sophie Thompson, James Fleet, Hugh Dennis, Felicity Montague, Tony Maudsley, Susie Blake and Andy Hamilton.
This is the Journal of Samuel Oliphant, merchant in comestibles and sundries, all at competitive prices and with free home delivery, unless you live in Indian country. Or down the Irish end of town. Yep. 1770 continues to be a turbulent year with the anti-British feeling growing ever more intense.
I said chop.
Only last night some radical hotheads tried to tar and feather a customs officer, but they ran out of tar and could only do up to his kneecaps. Though they did coat the rest of him in cow dung.
You can't ignore me, Samuel. I'm a customer.
No, no, Mrs. Arbuthnot. A customer is a person who buys things. You're a person who stands around not buying things. I don't know the word for that.
Are you suggesting I just come in here every day because I'm lonely? Well, are you?
No.
Because that's a vile slander. And if you repeat it, I'll employ the services of Mr. Snavely, the lawyer. And he'll sue you down to your last pair of long johns.
But I...
Mr. Snavely has won all his lawsuits. And in every case, the losing defendant has gone on to commit suicide. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. He mentions it in all his advertisements.
So, I am not lonely. Got that?
Yes.
Have you heard what's been happening in Boston?
You mean the massacre?
That's right. Some Turkish soldiers were massacred by Cossacks.
No. Americans were massacred by British soldiers.
Well, if you're going to quibble, Samuel, I'll not converse with you.
Yeah, well, that's fine by me, Mrs. Arbuthnot, because I'm trying to progress with my journal. Now...
In this journal of yours, have you mentioned your daughter's disastrous wedding? I expect not. Everyone's saying it was the most embarrassing wedding since Esther Dobson's.
Esther Dobson? Was she the one who was halfway through her wedding vows when she went into labor and dropped twins?
Identical twins.
Yes, I remember now, yes. They were identical in every detail, apart from their color.
That's right. One was black, the other was a kind of cheesy yellow.
Yeah. Well, nothing that embarrassing happened at Cora's wedding.
I heard the wedding banquet was the most humiliating part. I heard that too much liquor led to licentiousness. I heard it was so disgustingly depraved that had the devil himself appeared, he would have made excuses and left.
Well, you weren't really there, were you? If you must know, it was very civilized and most congenial. Most congenial.
Father! Father! Oh, there you are. I've been looking all over.
I was just bathing my cheek.
My, but that's swollen. How did you do it?
Right before I led your sister Cora up the aisle, we got involved in this slightly fractious conversation, and she became somewhat emotional and accidentally jerked her head into my face. 7 times.
Well, women are emotional creatures, Father. It's because they're made of sugar.
Sugar?
Mm-hmm. And spice, yeah. It's one of the basic laws of science.
Mm. Son, I think you may have confused the law of science with a nursery rhyme.
Oh, no. Not again. I try so hard.
Father, the banquet's about to be served. Time for you to take your place next to the bride.
Oh, great. More bruises.
Are you saying my sister did that?
No, she wasn't herself, Mary. It was nerves.
Well, what did you say to her?
I only did what any loving father would. I merely pointed out to her that this wedding was a grotesque mistake. And that she was marrying an odious, pompous puffball. I mean, that's all I said.
That's all you said?
Yes. Well, except I think that, in passing, I may possibly have ventured the opinion that her marriage bed would be a cold, loveless tomb where no passions would ever stir. But apart from that, I kept my views very much to myself. Except for maybe...
Well, congratulations, Father. She'll probably hate you for the rest of her life.
Yeah, that's exactly what she said. Only without the probably.
Perhaps there might be an opportunity for you to redeem yourself in her eyes.
Really?
When you make your speech, you simply tell the guests what a wonderful man Ezekiel is and how you're proud to have him as a son-in-law.
I couldn't compliment that braying jackass in public. I'd feel like a hypocrite.
Oh! There you are, Sam.
It's Samuel, damn it.
Oh, come, Sam. We are family now. We may eschew the elaborate folderols of formality. Pray be seated, Father.
Oh.
Don't wince like that.
Can't help it.
Our guests are all ready to partake of our Epicurean delights.
Why don't we just let them eat?
Now, you may have noticed, Sam, I took the liberty of inviting a few local dignitaries, which somehow overlooked.
Uh-huh.
Over there, that's the editor of the Pig Breeders' Gazette. And the portly chap with the beard has just been voted Slave Trader of the Year. I meant to invite your new lodger.
Captain Brimshaw?
Yes. His father is Lord Brimshaw, don't you know, advisor to King George. Got his knighthood for hanging lots of difficult Scotsmen.
He sounds fun.
Come sit here in your rightful place, next to your loving daughter.
Oh, well, no, that's all right. I can sit at the other end here.
Oh, well, not hear of it. You belong next to my beloved wife, your firstborn. Right, I'll just leave you two to chat while I brief the musicians on the length of fanfare to introduce my speech.
Cora, well, this is nice. May I say you're looking lovely? Cora, please say something.
I love you, Father, and we must never fight again. Embrace me?
Wait a second, that's not what happened. I heard she sat in silence and scowled at you through the entire meal.
Well, you know, a scowl is just a smile turned upside down.
And after the banquet, did you make your speech?
Yes, and it went very well.
I heard it was excruciating.
Well, I was nervous, I grant you.
You made smells. Everyone noticed.
Listen, my speech was creditable, given the circumstances. As father of the bride, it's my distinct honor to have to say a few words about this person I must now call son-in-law. Yes, well, what is there to say about him that hasn't already been said by him? He's one of a kind, and that's more than enough. He's a large man with teeth and arms, both of which have hands and with fingers on them.
Be not alarmed, good citizens of Baltimore. We shall not be tarrying long. We're here on the king's business, and once we have performed our duty, we shall leave you all in peace.
How dare you? This is a private gathering.
I do apologize, Miss Oliphant, but we have strict orders from General Venables.
I wish a pox on General Venables.
You're too late. He's already got one.
Be quiet, Sergeant.
Quiet I shall be, sir.
We're to search all premises to find the printing press turning out handbills authored by the seditious pamphleteer who hides behind the cowardly pseudonym Spartacus.
Spartacus is no coward, you posturing parasite.
Ignore my intemperate sister-in-law, Captain. We are all loyalists here.
Oh! Who threw that?
Is it not enough, Captain, that you force yourself upon us and billet beneath my poor father's roof?
Well, I...
And is it not enough that you also impose upon my family the noxious presence of your sergeant, this one-eyed, one-legged, disgusting creature?
Yeah, that's me, all right, yeah.
No, you have to defile
I'm
this...
sorry, Miss Oliphant, but this Spartacus has to be stopped. Just look at his latest insult. See, this is the vile cartoon of His Majesty King George, with his breeches around his ankles and his naked backside being bitten by a lobster with the word freedom written on it.
But surely that's nothing to get agitated about, Captain. It's just an impish satire.
It is clear incitement for subjects to violate royals with seafood.
It's not even a good drawing of a lobster.
Good point, Sergeant. It is most shoddily crafted.
At first glance, I took it for a stag beetle.
A poor likeness indeed.
Most poor.
Indeed.
It's very good of the king's arse, though.
Sergeant.
No, he's really captured the pear-shaped sag bag that is the German bum, you know.
Sergeant, now we shall carry out the search.
Never.
Kindly step to one side, Miss Oliphant.
If you want to carry out your heinous orders, you will have to push me roughly to the ground.
Please, don't provoke me into physical force.
That's all you tyrants understand. Go on, manhandle me.
I'll do no such thing.
Then allow me, sir, I'll do...
get back, Sergeant.
Do your worst, you red-coated vermin.
Now, Mary, keep calm now.
Don't you tell my sister to keep calm, you abject excuse for a father.
Wife, kindly abjure such shrewish and impious disputation.
Don't you tell my daughter to what you said.
Please, could we all moderate our...
Stay out of this. you preening puppet of King George, the steaming turd.
You provoke me too far, madam.
Aha! The manhandling begins.
Well, Captain, I wouldn't lay hands on Mary if I were you.
I am merely using reasonable force.
I know, but it's just that whenever someone lays a finger on Mary, her brother has a tendency to...
Oh!
Bang their heads against the ceiling. Joshua, unhand the captain's throat this instant.
He's been bad, Father.
He's very protective towards his sister.
So I see.
Captain, if you want legal redress for the injuries you're receiving, then I...
No, not now, Snavely.
Oh. permission to quell the uproar by firing indiscriminately into the crowd, sir. We'll take that as a yes. On the command, load!
Whoa, please, gentlemen. Joshua, drop the captain now. What in the world are we all doing? Have we gone mad? We're civilized people. This isn't Boston. This is a kind of idiocy that ends in massacres. It begins with childish insults, and then some lunatic throws a snowball, a soldier panics, suddenly the bullets are flying and the blood's flowing. This is supposed to be a celebration, for heaven's sake. My Cora marrying Ezekiel should be an occasion for,
joy.
I'll find my own words, thank you. It's a wedding feast. Think how it will spoil the bride's day if she's fatally wounded.
Oh. Come on, we don't aim for the knees, we're not animals.
Please, I implore you, surely there's no need for violence.
Aha, now then, I heard what happened next. The redcoats went berserk with their bayonets, and one of them impaled the Archdeacon of Maryland and spit-roasted him over the fire. And then the soldiers began impregnating all the women, and their ringleader was that sergeant who was servicing many women at one go on account of his being endowed with 5 enormous manhoods.
Who told you all this?
Mrs. Didcot.
Well, I think she should get out more.
But she heard it from Mistress Quigley.
Quigley? Is she the one who grows the mushrooms?
That's right. Big mushrooms with bright orange tops.
Yes. Well, you can tell her and Mrs. Didcot that there were no bayonets, spit roasts, or multiple manhoods, or even single ones. Oh. Reason prevailed, and it was agreed that the soldiers would search the premises for Spartacus's den, but only after the wedding guests had left. We invited them to sit down, and soon both Americans and British were merrily enjoying each other's company in the spirit of brotherhood.
So basically, women are made of sugar.
Yeah, and spice.
Oh, yeah, obviously, yeah. No. So what are men made of?
Mostly puppy dog's tails. Oh. And hair.
Well, I never knew that. Did you know that, lads?
No, you see, that
is the value of a formal education, eh? I believe it's your bet, sir.
Joshua, are you gambling?
Yes, Father. Sergeant McQuirk just happened to have a pack of cards on him. Wasn't that lucky?
I've told you before, son, you're not cut out for poker.
Why not?
Well, because whenever you get a decent hand, you slap your thigh and shout, aha.
Oh, and you think that's a mistake?
He's not doing so bad, sir.
Yeah, although that big pile of coins suggests you're winning, Sergeant.
Well, it's true that so far Lady Luck has pointed her fickle breast my way, but I mean...
But it's been back and forth, Father. I've had my moments.
Yeah.
For instance, a few hands ago, I was holding 3 aces, which is pretty good, right?
Yes, it is.
Unfortunately, the sergeant had 4. But it was okay.
Actually, lad, your father's right. Let's pack the cards away. A boy your age shouldn't be dabbling in the demonic pursuit of gaming. No. Why don't you go get another round of booze for me and the boys, eh?
14 pints of grog coming up.
Yep.
Please don't fleece my boy again, Sergeant. I've heard what scoundrels the British soldiers are, and it's...
Now, let's have no unpleasantness, sir. There's no need for conflict between us, is there now? After all, Americans and British, well, we're just brothers. Divided by an ocean, ain't that right?
Well, that's right, yes.
We share a common heritage and culture. I mean, yes, some minor differences may have arisen, you know.
Minor differences?
Yeah, I mean, take language as a for instance. I mean, there are little variations developing. I mean, like you say tomato, whereas we pronounce it correctly. But, you see, sir, these are mere trifles and probably not worth going to war over.
No, it's small potatoes. Has anyone seen the bride recently?
She's under that table, sir, cuddling a brandy bottle.
Oh, no. Does it ever end? Kids are nothing but trouble. Have you got children, Sergeant?
Almost certainly, sir, yes. Somewhere, yeah.
I envy you, Sergeant. Your way of life.
Oh, really? Which part of my life would that be, sir? Is it the starvation and rat-infested living quarters, or the having the bits of your body blown off by grape shot?
No. I wasn't so much thinking of those elements.
Oh, right.
More like the open road, the having no responsibility.
Oh, yeah. Life's one big party for me, yeah. It's a never-ending carnival. I'm a one-armed, one-legged, half-blind lucky bastard, yeah. Yeah. I bet you wish you were me, eh?
Well, no.
I'll tell you what, why don't I rip one of your arms off and then...
Boy, you know what? I've really enjoyed our little conversation, Sergeant. But I'd better go and attend to my daughter.
Oh, yeah, all right, yeah, fair enough. You walk over there on both your legs. Go on, yeah.
Cora, I have to talk to you.
Oh, you look familiar. No, don't tell me. Oh, yeah, I know. Didn't you used to be my father?
Look, Cora, about the things I said at the church, about your Ezekiel, I'm sorry if I was a little...
arseworm.
A little outspoken. But did you listen to my speech? I spoke kindly of Ezekiel.
You said he had teeth.
And so he does. Well, I did my best, didn't I? Because I love you.
Ha! And terrible.
Well, this is the brandy talking. I'd advise you...
Oh, good. More advice. Like the advice you gave me on the perils of a miserable marriage, a subject which you'd be deemed an expert.
Cora, the estrangement between your mother and I is a source of great regret.
Not for her. Oh, come on, Father. Where's your sense of humor?
All I did was speak the truth, Cora. I don't think you feel love or affection for Ezekiel. I think you married him because you're running from your passion for someone else.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about Abraham Smith, the backwoodsman who passed through here a few months ago.
Abraham who?
Oh, stop it. You had secret trysts with him in the woods, and now he's gone, and you've chosen the quiet life with Ezekiel, where there'll be no pain, but no love and no passion.
Well, that's where you're wrong. I love Ezekiel, and our wedding bed will be venue for prodigious marital lust, great passion all night. Every night we shall make the beast with two backs. Sometimes we'll even make the beast with three backs. So there.
Cora, please.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to retire to the water closet because looking at your sanctimonious visage has made me feel nauseous.
Well, mind how you stagger.
Ow!
Joshua! I've told you before, no arm wrestling. Not with Mr. Snavely in the vicinity.
Sorry, Father.
Dad!
I preferred Sam.
Captain Grimshaw and I are discussing the politics of the day, and we'd welcome your views.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, well, I'm not worthy to debate with such intellectual titans.
Come. Let us be the judge of that. I've just been telling the captain that the next time he writes to his father, the estimable Lord Brimshaw, he can reassure him that all decent people in this colony are disgusted by the activities of these so-called patriots. Isn't that so, Sam?
Well, I don't really think...
Come on, Sam. Speak your mind.
Well, I don't really have a mind. Mine's caused trouble, but what mind I have, I try to keep open.
That is to be commended.
Although, I have heard some express the view that this colony was muddling along perfectly well until Westminster started throwing its weight around, changing all these taxes. I mean, what's the point of all this change? Just makes everyone around here angry and jumpy, and it makes the future look uncertain and frightening, and the next thing you know, you've got soldiers in your loft, beagles in your dreams, your head spinning with worry, and someone you love is calling you an ass worm. Anyway, that's just something I've heard people say.
It's a point well made, Dad.
Samuel!
These modernists desire change purely out of their addiction to the fickle whimsy of fashion. But some truths hold eternal, and the divine right of kings is one such constant.
True, but Mr. Oliphant does make a good point. Perhaps the crown has been a fraction rigid.
But crowns are, by their very nature, rigid.
Yes, but fundamentally, I believe in the possibility of great harmony between the settlers and we British.
You do?
Why, yes. For instance, just look at your daughter, Mary. A few hours ago, she was ranting against the iniquities of British rule, and now she's over there, chatting sociably with my men. Isn't that remarkable?
Yes, it's very remarkable.
Well, thank you for that suggestion, Miss Oliphant, but with respect, I think we'd rather probably not mutiny, if it's all the same to you.
But you have the power to seize your own liberty. Give me one good reason why you shouldn't mutiny this very night.
What apart from being hanged, you mean?
You'll only swing if you fail.
No, you see, the army's really strict about mutinies. They don't like them.
Then you must spread the doctrine of freedom throughout the entire British army.
No. You see, miss, the thing you must understand about the British army is that it's basically German. Isn't that right, lads?
Yeah,
I mean, this lot's nearly all Hessian mercenaries, see? They only strike a blow for freedom if the money's right.
Good news, fellas. I bought us a yard of blackberry gin. Let's see who can drink it fastest without going blind.
This is a serious conversation, Joshua.
Oh, right. Well, then I'll just sit here and look bewildered.
Just think what your freedom would mean to you, Sergeant. You'd be your own master.
Oh, I couldn't be trusted with being my own master, miss. See, I'm mindless riffraff. I need the structure.
Look, Sergeant.
What are you doing, Mary?
I'm concerned. Inspiring, Father, isn't that exciting? Helping the oppressed cast off their shackles.
Yes, well, one of the basic laws of conspiracy is that you keep your voice down.
You'd be free as a bird, Sergeant. Free to stand on your own one foot. You'd no longer have to take orders from that pampered ninny Brimshaw.
Oh, well, now I think that's a rather unfair description. What do you think, Captain?
What?
Miss Oliphant?
Creeping up on me like a thief in the night, eh? Typical.
Miss Oliphant.
Go on, then. Drag me off to some dark place and clamp me in irons if you must.
Miss Oliphant, I have to warn you.
Don't intimidate me, mister, with your overbearing, piercing look and your ridiculously firm, jutting jaw.
I must warn you that incitement to mutiny is treason.
She didn't realize. She's young. She was just playing at mock conspiracy. It's a popular game in these parts.
Subverting His Majesty's army.
She'll apologize. Mary, say sorry to the captain for trying to subvert his army.
Never.
I order you as a father.
Ha! Father! What is a father?
Yes, all right, Cora, thank you.
A father is someone who frowns frowningly and calls my husband a great ball of sweat.
Ball of sweat, Sam?
I said no such thing. I said ball of suet.
You know, Father, I have an inkling that Cora might be drunk.
Mr. Oliphant, unless Mary retracts her seditious comments and swears allegiance to the king...
When hell freezes over and icicles hang from Satan's horns...
In that case, you're under arrest.
Get your large yet surprisingly delicate hands off me!
Oh, I wouldn't do that if I was... Oh, Joshua!
He touched my sister!
Sergeant! Overpower this man!
Oh, I don't see how, sir. There's only a brigade of us.
Do something.
Right. By the left. Load. Aim.
Shoot me first. I'm proud to die for liberty.
And me. And I want to die.
Will everyone just...
Did I give the order to fire?
Was sagt er?
Ich habe keine Ahnung. Nein.
We've got big trouble now.
You certainly have. You shot Snavely, the lawyer.
Is he alive?
I think so. Look, he's taking depositions.
All right. This whole wedding is under arrest. Unter Arresten. Arresten Sie.
Now I know exactly what happened next.
Here we go.
Your boy banged so many redcoats' heads against the ceiling that he weakened the building, and now they're going to have to pull it down. The bride was so drunk she disgorged several quarts of brandy over the curate, who caught fire and no longer has any eyebrows. The sergeant unscrewed his wooden leg and started using it as a cudgel. You tried to stop the fighting by calling a toast, but were knocked unconscious by a flying suckling pig. And then the whole wedding party was thrown into jail where the German guards urinated on you as they sang obscene Hanoverian folk songs about radishes.
Where did you hear all that absolute... Oh, yeah, that's exactly what did happen. Yeah, how did you know?
It's all written down here in Spartacus's latest pamphlet.
Spartacus? You mean he was there the whole time?
Apparently. So, is Captain Brimshaw pressing charges against Mary?
No. Sergeant McGurk, who quite fancies you, by the way, managed to convince the captain that arresting a young local girl would be too inflammatory and unpopular in the current volatile atmosphere.
The sergeant fancies me, you say?
Oh, yes.
But he's repulsive.
Only physically. Well, all right, and mentally, yeah. Though I have to say, he's not as stupid as he looks. In fact, he's damn crafty, as opposed to the captain, who's just, well, silly.
The captain sure is pretty, though, in a pointless kind of way.
Yeah, well, he seems quite drawn to my Mary. Worse still, I think deep down, Mary might have a soft spot for him.
Yeah, and I know where that is.
Oh, please, Mrs. Arbuthnot.
It's only natural, Samuel. Most girls turn a little moist at the sight of a uniform.
Stop it! Let's have no more talk of moistness. Now, if you don't mind, I shall continue with my journal. Let's see. My first aim is to find a way of driving these redcoats from under my roof.
Samuel?
Yes?
What time are you expecting Sergeant McCurk back?
Well, his patrol usually ends around 5, but I thought you said he was repulsive.
Yes, but I like my men repulsive. They're always so grateful. See you later, Samuel. I'll be back to bewitch McGurk with my feminine wiles.
Right. Now, my first aim is to find a way of driving these red coats from under my roof, which I think I have just achieved.